Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Really rallied behind a young man. He went out and played almost flawless football. And kept the game really clean and kept everything clean for us in order for us to get a win. I was really pleased with the efforts today.
Almost flawless. You heard it from the man himself. That's Raheem Morris after the Falcons' dominant victory over the New York Giants yesterday. Hey, how about this, Squid? Let's open the phone lines, 404-726-0929. We want to know what you saw from Michael Penix yesterday. What's the one thing you saw Michael Penix do yesterday that made you excited about not only the end of this season, but this franchise moving forward? 404-726-0929.
Just one thing, guys, because I couldn't get down to just one thing because I was excited about a plethora of things. Yep. But I even told Arches, I said, man, I don't know if I'm seeing what I think I'm seeing, but I just felt like he was so cool and so calm. And I'm talking about in the pocket during plays where it was just like, oh, no, that's not there. Oh, there's Drake. Zoom.
Yeah.
And then he's like, Darnell, there's Kyle. Zoom.
Yeah.
And it's like, and the zoom is like where the ball was going through. I mean, it was probably like a golf ball going by your head. You could hear it. You know?
Yeah, the hand cannon, as Wes kept calling it yesterday.
You know who looked like someone like peed in their Cheerios?
Who's that?
Number 5. Drake London looked, and I
that's not a good way to put it.
I'm a big Drake London fan, but he played with ruthless aggression.
Yeah. No, he was yesterday. He was angry.
I mean, dude, did you see him run over I think it was Musoa? I think how you pronounce his name?
Yes, I did see that.
Muso? I mean, he ran him over when Kyle decides to play hot potato with the football in the red zone and gets intercepted. Drake comes down there, makes the tackle, and then fights the entire Giants defense.
Yeah, he does. It was exciting to watch, man. And Nate Tice yesterday actually put out a video and said that Drake London is a bully. And I was like, yeah, he plays more like a tight end than anybody else that we have on the roster right now. And that includes Kyle Pitts. But somebody texted me back, they're like, what about Charlie Warner? I was like, Charlie Warner plays like a fullback. Like, Charlie Warner plays like a fullback. I'm talking about like somebody that plays like a Kittle. Like, that's Drake London to me. He's blocking down on pin and pulls. He's lead blocking up into the line of scrimmage. Like, he plays like an H-back almost with the physicality and the attitude he brings. I love it.
He has been Kirk's tight end this year. Kirk used him when he was a quarterback as a tight end. It's so many when it's like, hey, we need 5 yards and it's going to be a contested catch, and Drake was the guy he would go to.
All right. Let's go out to the phone lines real quick. 404-726-0929. Let's go out to our buddy Josh. Hey, Josh, good morning, man. What'd you think yesterday?
Hey, first off, let's preface this with how about them Cowboys?
Woo!
That's right. How about them Cowboys?
Secondly, let's hit them with that rise up Atlanta.
Yes, that's
because
right.
Because Penix done showed up and showed out.
Yes, sir.
He showed us everything Kurt wasn't in the last 4 weeks. Decision-making, ball coming out quickly, on target, didn't turn the ball over, except for Kyle Pitts making a mistake down in the red zone. Rise up, Atlanta. Let's go. It's our time to win the South.
Can I just draw your attention to something, Bo?
What?
How about the excitement in that voice? Because I think that's what this fan base feels like right now.
Well, I hope that's what you feel like.
I feel that, man.
It's December 23rd. You are in first place. with a rookie quarterback who just made his debut and looked phenomenally good, I thought. I don't give a damn who it was against, because last time I checked, Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns were coming after him trying to heat him up. All of that said, go handle your business. I like that call. I like the excitement, and I like the conciseness.
All right, let's get one more call before we got to go to the quarterback report. Let's go out to, it's your boy, Mr. Yo. Mr. Yo, I know you're taking a little, he's taking a little victory lap this morning. Go ahead, Mr. Yo. Have at it, baby.
Good morning, fearless leader.
Sir?
Good morning, all Americans.
What's up, Mr. Yo?
Good morning, Atlanta. We're in first place again where we belong. We run the South. I am ecstatic about what happened. And I put it all on the experience level that that young man got for playing 4 years in college. Just like all the other young quarterbacks who are playing well right now, they played a boatload in college. The two guys who are going to go at the top of the draft in 2025 have played a boatload in college. Experience matters. You're not going to get that experience necessarily at the NFL level. You've got to get it at the college level. And when you're looking at these players and you watch them do it throughout their career, they go through these high-pressure moments and they're able to win, then you have something there. I am so happy for Atlanta. I am so happy for our team. And Kyle Pitts, please hold on to the ball, bro.
Oh! Thank
you guys. Good call.
That's what I'm talking about, Bo. That's the excitement I'm talking about. Everybody in Atlanta woke up ready to run through a wall this morning.
Every time, you know, we there was a play made. Look, I'm not going to sit here. I'm a big Kirk Cousins guy. I love the guy to death. I think he's a phenomenal human being. I think he's been a really good player for a long time. To that point, I'm a Michael Penix guy too.
Yeah.
And I think he's an outstanding young man who's going to show the world that he's as good of a human being, you know, as we think Kirk is, right?
Yeah.
But boy, man, when he made a couple, there was throws yesterday where it just looked different.
Yeah, it did.
He
had a rollout throw on a boot, the throw to Darnell Mooney. And I don't know, 10-yard gain, something like that. But I just thought, man, just the rollout and the seed that he just delivered made me so excited.
Wes said it yesterday. He's carrying a hand cannon into the stadium
every day,
and that's his that's his left arm.
All right, hey, let's hear from that man, Michael Penix. He did an interview with Dave Archer after the game yesterday. Squidbilly was standing right next to him. It's the Quarterback Report. This interview is brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta.
Michael, everybody talking about, okay, young guy, first start, all that kind of stuff. You look like you've been doing it all along.
Yeah, man. It's just a preparation, the work that I put in each and every day. You know, just always staying ready for the moment. I'm blessed to come out with a win today. You know, the defense played a heck of a game. You know, two touchdowns on the defense side of the ball. And then the offensive line doing a wonderful job protecting me so I can get the ball to the playmaker. So, man, it's a blessing. So.
You get a chance to stand there and hand the football to number 7. And he does some stuff with the ball. I mean, you got an angle that's unbelievable. Tell me about what you see.
Man, it's special, man. What he does, you know, the way he makes people miss, you know. Man, he like they say he can make somebody miss in a phone booth, man. It's true, man. You see him out there each and every day. He does it in practice. You know, he works extremely hard, and man, he's just such a blessing to have on the team. So,
how proud are you of yourself from a preparation standpoint? You've been waiting for 15 weeks to get in, but you've been going through all the paces, reading things. When you're standing behind Kirk back there, you're reading stuff in practice. I talked about how it looked like you've been doing it all along. I mean, you're going from set read to read to read. I know you'll probably give Zach a lot of credit and probably TJ a lot of credit, but tell me about how comfortable you felt.
Yeah, I felt very comfortable. You know, like I said, it's a lot to do with my preparation. You know, Z-Rob and TJ and DJ Williams, you know, they all do a great job, you know, just helping us stay prepared, you know, and always ready for the moment. And also Kirk as well, you know, just seeing how he operated throughout these first 14 weeks and, you know, the way that he operated each and every day, you know, just learning stuff, you know, just as far as when to get to the next read and, you know, how to cancel stuff out so I can be able to make big-time plays. So, you know, it's a credit to all of them, you know. So,
Kevin, played the position. I know it looks cool when you sit up and look up on the Jumbotron and your defense is scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, man, it's great. It's great, man. It's no better feeling, man. Jesse, he's my locker mate. He told me he got me this week, and man, he showed up big, and I was one screaming loud as I could for him. You know, I was super excited. You know, the defense did a great job. So,
all right, Christmas coming up. You got all your Christmas shopping done?
Yes, I do. I actually do.
Okay.
Everything is done.
Okay. Everything's set?
Yes, sir.
Okay. There he is. Well, Michael Penix gave us a Christmas present, got us a W in his first time out. First time the rookie quarterback's won his first start since Matt Ryan. How about that? Appreciate
yes,
you, man.
I appreciate it.
Look, I can I just, and I heard Dave say that yesterday in the interview. And somebody else tweeted us, first rookie quarterback to win his first start since Matt Ryan. There's only been one other opportunity, and that was Desmond Ritter.
Yeah, but it's still.
It sounds like there's 20 people.
But
in
it's
there.
The first time it's happened in 16 years.
The stat of that's the first time it's been two pick sixes in 41 years. That's a stat,
dude. Did you?
Like, that's a stat.
So Jake Cook, who is our engineer for the game. Like he sent me. He's the one that found that stat about Johnson on us, and he sent me the readout on what happened in that game.
Yeah,
and like the second pick six was an OT.
It's really?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. In fact, the first one gave them the lead, 41-34. Then the Packers tied it, and then the second one.
This is back in 1983 for anybody that wasn't paying attention.
And then the second one, Art showed me some hits that Johnson used to lay on people. Oh boy! By the way,
ding.
First time I've ever seen. A quarterback wear Burberry shoes in an interview.
Well, I was going to ask you. So you're standing there next to Dave Archer while he's doing the interview. What did the body like? What did the aura feel like when he's talking?
Comfortable,
confident.
Just like this wasn't his first rodeo kind of interview,
right?
I thought Mr. Yo touched on it about, you know, this is a guy that we have to remember has done all this. Played in some big games in college. You know, the college football playoff experience last year. Played in, I think, at least one conference title game in his career. The part that gets a lot of people, you know, like the media and the hype of a start, it's not going to bother him. I think, to me, what I've seen, I wonder if... you know, this week Dan Quinn tries to show some exotic looks, tries to confuse him. I know he will.
There's no doubt.
I wonder how complicated he'll try to get on it. I wonder how that affects Michael. But everything I saw, everything you saw, the moment wasn't too big. And where you say, well, you're at home playing the Giants. It's an NFL game. This is a guy who made his NFL start. You just think back about how you would feel making living out your dream.
Okay, we got 1 minute until we get a break, because I want to talk about this for a second. Is there any part of you, having seen the inside the locker room and the Hard Knocks for Brian Daboll, Joe Schoen, is there any part of you that believes that Brian Daboll is just comfortable with losing at this point? Because a lot of it kind of feels like that when I'm watching the Giants.
I know
they're dinged up, but I'm sitting there going, dude, he's not exactly pulling out all the stops here.
I don't think he's – well – I don't think there's a lot of stops you can pull out with Drew Lock and company. I mean, they look, he knew what the weakness was, where his advantage was against our defense, and he hammered it as much as he could. We just adjusted, Jimmy and Ra adjusted enough to kind of shut down the screen game enough to force him into turnovers. But, I mean, they came out and they tried to win the game. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, they were bringing blitzes against us. They were trying to attack us where we're weak. You have Drew Lock.
Hey, we got to get to break. When we come back, we're going to go in the huddle. We're going to hear from some of the other craziness in the NFL. The Lions, crazy trick play. And the Cowboys, happened with about a minute 20 left, might have saved the Falcons' season. We'll hear from that, too, on the other side of the break. We'll go in the huddle. Stick with us. It's Mike and Bo. It's the Morning Shift. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Look at the pressure. Look. Showing the pressure. Here it comes in the back. Jordan Lewis got there. Mayfield pitches it forward. Somehow he got it to White. Rashad White gets a gain out of that. The ball taken away by the Cowboys. White was on the way down. It's a Rob Bland. Took it away. Incredible. How about him, Cowboys?
Ladies and gentlemen, what you just heard is the play that put the Atlanta Falcons back into first place where they belong. It's Morning Shift. Mike Squid hanging out, going a little in the huddle right now. Man, what a game last night. What a result. What a huge win for the Dallas Cowboys to move them to, check this now, 7-8. How about the Cowboys?
Yeah, they're
7-8.
They're officially eliminated. Can I I've been doing some looking around.
You've been researching a little bit over there on the laptop.
The Cowboys did you a favor last night.
Yep.
Okay. Now, you went out, and they're good. They've helped you all they needed to, right? But let's say you win against Washington on Sunday night, and you somehow lose to the Panthers.
Oh my dude!
Just hear me out. Just hear me out. And you finish. You finish 9-8, and the Bucs somehow finish 10-7. Do you know who could save your season? The Cowboys, because they end the year with Washington.
What?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Like, you're making me sick even talking about this. So can we just save this for later? Why do we got to talk about what if they lose to the Panthers?
Because it popped in my head.
Oh.
It popped in my head. And it's at Dallas. It's at Dallas.
I'm gonna do like they say in the kid movies. I'm going to put a pin in it, and we're gonna visit that one later. How about that? We're going to put a pin in that one, visit that one later.
I've already pulled the pin in the grenade. Yeah,
let's not do
that. I was just looking ahead.
Pop that bubble in another.
Which we should never do. Just ask Carl Dukes what happens when he looks ahead. It always gets him in trouble.
Yeah, you should never, especially with this franchise.
Yeah.
You should never look ahead.
But look, you all you needed was for Tampa to lose and get back. You're back in first place. You're the fourth place team now. Okay? Your chances went from like, I think you had like a 10% chance of making the playoffs to now 46.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy the way things are coming to shape. I do want to talk about the Commanders in just a second and their big win yesterday, their comeback win, three touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Thanks a lot, Devonta Smith.
But before we get there, how about the numbers for Dallas yesterday? And I don't know if a lot of people understand. You talk about playing with balance. That is not what happened in Dallas yesterday. Cooper Rush goes 26 of 35 for 292 and a TD. The leading rusher was Rico Dowdle, 13 carries, 23 yards. That was the leading rusher for the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. Ezekiel Elliott, one carry, 1 yard, one touchdown. So it was a crazy day. Bucky Irving, I thought, looked really, really special when he got his hands on the ball. Of course, Baker Mayfield goes for 303, but has the interception. Rashad White has the fumble. The turnover at the end is what ended up getting him. Also, though, the play in the end zone in the fourth quarter to take the ball away. Just insane. Just insane what Dallas was able to do. Mike McCarthy save his job? Like, is he good to go?
Yeah.
7-8 with Cooper Rush?
I mean, you want to talk about a coaching job?
It's impressive.
I don't understand. And Jordan Lewis was the guy that had the interception where he just snagged it. I don't understand the hatred for Mike McCarthy. The guy had what, like, he's got two or three 12, 13 win seasons there. You lose Dak Prescott for the year and you get better. You lose Dak Prescott for the season and somehow they got better.
Isn't that crazy?
Cooper Rush, that touchdown throw last night in the first quarter, that was a phenomenal throw. Nice, you know, stayed in there, made the throw. Dallas could finish 9-8.
Yeah. They could, and they're playing a good brand of football right now.
You talk about injuries. Micah Parsons half the season.
Just playing hard, man, playing hard. Hey, speaking of injuries, let's pivot really quick. I want to talk about Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. He goes down in the first quarter with a concussion. Kenny Pickett comes in, plays decently well. Nothing terrible. I think 14 of 24, 143 yards, touchdown, interception. He's okay. It's okay. After the game, he ends up getting x-rays on his ribs. He got hit a couple of good times. But the Commanders, really the story here, Jaden Daniels comes back with 21 points in the fourth quarter. They score with 6 seconds to go. And just an incredible comeback for them, incredible team. To your point, Devontae Smith dropped a slant that would have put this game away.
Yeah,
they actually also had an interception with about 2 minutes left that you thought did put the game away, but it didn't.
Well, that interception led to another field goal, and that interception led to that drive where Devontae Smith drops the slant.
Yes.
That's the game right there.
Yep.
That is the ball game. It was a good – I thought Pickett played – Kenny Pickett's coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Hasn't played all year, pretty much.
It's a different style of offense with him in.
Yeah.
He's not Jalen Hurts.
Well, no. He can move, but he can't move like Jalen.
Right. He's not going to be Jalen in the open field and, drag guys down with him and make those quick cuts that Jalen Hurts does.
But you did everything, it's not all on one person, okay? Every loss is more, you can't allow – Washington scored 3 fourth quarter touchdowns. You can't. That's where, you got to look at, as much as we talk about the Georgia, the Philadelphia Bulldogs or whatever you want to call them, their defense dropped the ball at the end yesterday.
Yeah. They've been so good, man. And how about Alameda Zacchaeus, our old buddy, scores on a 49-yard touchdown as well on a blown coverage from the Eagles. But really, like you said, it comes down to Devontae Smith. It's going to be tough, man. There's no other way to slice it, guys. When you're looking at this weekend and you look at what Jaden Daniels is, you look at the passion that Dan Quinn's defense plays with, how excited they were coming off that game. The only thing you can kind of, you know, hang your hat on is they had an emotional victory, a comeback victory this weekend, and they got the Falcons coming into town next week. But it's going to be tough. I would say that as far as athleticism, he's the most dynamic player we'll see at the quarterback position this year. I think he's one of the most dynamic players at the quarterback position in the NFL, but we're not going to see Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and those other guys throughout the course of the regular season this year. So I would say Jaden Daniels, it kind of starts and stops with him in terms of athleticism at the quarterback spot.
Yeah, 81 yards on 9 carries.
You
yesterday.
Saw Bo Nix, what, a month ago, and that didn't end very well. So we're going to have to figure that out a little
but
bit.
But I also think that you're playing differently on defense than you were when you played Bo Nix. You're also you're healthier than you were. Remember, I mean, everybody was kind of banged up going into that game. That was the week before the bye. That's a tough one. You're also feeling yourselves a little bit. Look, since the bye week, the defense has had 3 very good performances and 1 with a couple of blown plays away from having a good performance against Minnesota.
Yeah. All right, let's pivot to another team in this division, the Panthers, yesterday pulling off the big victory. They put the Arizona Cardinals out of contention this year. Bryce Young, look, man, Dave Canales, those guys, Chuba Hubbard, doing a nice job. They go to overtime yesterday. Chuba Hubbard rips off a big run in overtime. He goes for 25 carries yesterday, 152 yards. Bryce Young doing some nice things. Again, this just seems to be Bryce Young's stat line, 158 yards through the air. Yesterday he gets 2 touchdowns. And Adam Thielen, decent day as a leading receiver, 5 catches, 43 yards. Dave Canales is doing what he did with Baker. He's starting to round him into form, and honestly, it's a little bit frightening when you look at that in a couple weeks.
Do you kind of feel like, I hope that they hit their peak this upcoming week, and then
start
they kind of
start looking towards vacation.
This feels like Bryce Young's rookie year.
It does. That's a good way to put it. Yep.
Because he is treating him like he's reteaching him how he should play the quarterback position in the NFL. And I think Bryce Young's taking to it very well.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that's a great way to put it. And obviously, we knew Dave Canales was known as a little bit of a quarterback whisperer. And look, when Dave Canales took this job last year, you and I both said it. Didn't seem like anybody wanted it. It was like, what kind of promises are you going to have to make anybody to take over this job for the Carolina Panthers because of David Tepper? And Dave Canales takes over that job. Bryce Young, gets benched midway through the year. He comes back, plays. And he's played well, man. He's making some throws with some confidence that I don't think that anybody kind of saw coming. All right, just to finish up in the huddle, did you see they're calling it the stumble bum, the trick play for the Detroit Lions yesterday where Jared Goff opens up, fakes a fumbled handoff to Jahmyr Gibbs, and then hits the trick play over the top to, I believe it was Sam Laporta. And they did that with 12:18 remaining.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable that Jared Goff comes out and he says that it started on Monday and Ben Johnson asked him if he thought he could actually fumble on purpose and pick it back up. Jared Goff says, well, I don't know about that, but we can kind of do a much better acting job. And, they kind of just decided for him to turn around, stumble, Jahmyr Gibbs falls on his face, and then everybody kind of loses track of Sam Laporta on the back end, gets hit for a tut. That dude, I always, always, always want the Falcons to win, but I am so happy for Lions fans right now because that is such a fun team to watch that plays so hard.
How did you not point out the best part of that play?
What happened?
What's the best?
Give it to me.
What's the best part of that play?
I don't know. I don't have it in front of me right now.
I put my Mike Johnson glasses on.
Yeah.
The best part of that play is when Jahmyr sells it, he falls down, right? Yeah. But then as soon as Goff hits his last drop is set, when he gets set,
yeah,
Gibbs pops up, wham, and chips the edge player to help his left tackle.
You gotta love it.
I was like, all of this and you didn't mention that.
Give the man the Jacobs blocking trophy. You gotta love it.
Who is our big guy over there? What's the big dude at left tackle?
Dan Skipper, that's right.
Dan Skipper.
He's like 6'8".
Yeah, he's number 69. He helps Skipper. Because the Bears defender,
edge rusher,
he's starting to get past his right shoulder.
Yeah.
And Jahmyr steps in there and just pops him.
I love it. Hey, when we come back, guys, we're going to take a couple more calls, 404-726-0929. It's pretty simple. What did you see yesterday? The one thing you saw that excited you about the future of this franchise that Michael Penix was able to do, or maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't Michael Penix. Maybe it was something else. Maybe it was Zach Robinson, Bijan, honestly an elite player. So we'll also hit a mic'd up, one of the more special father-son moments of the holiday season. You don't want to miss that. And then coming up at the top of the hour, too, we'll have Man Up Monday. This hour brought to you by Zero Mart, Lasting Clean. Make sure you stick with us. The morning shift, Mike and Bo, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
And here goes Locke looking to the near side. That got batted in the air and intercepted. Matthew Judon, another pick six and a touchdown.
Yeah, exactly. I just shout out Zach. I mean, honestly, it wasn't all me. Zach got that big claw up there on the ball, and it just fell into my lap. And I've been working a little punt return. So, you know, I just had to find the end zone. It felt good, but honestly, just it's all around defensive effort.
Boom. You heard it from the man himself. That's Matthew Judon with, honestly, probably the biggest day of his season yesterday for the Atlanta Falcons in that victory against the New York Giants. Hey, Mike and Squid here on the morning shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's a Falcons victory Monday, and we continue to roll on. You were standing right there for the Matthew Judon interview. I thought the punt return comment was pretty funny, man, but I imagine his body language, as well as most of the guys you and Arch talked to in the locker room yesterday, pretty good.
Yeah, look, I mean, they were happy, especially those everybody I thought played well. You had a complimentary game yesterday where I thought all phases did good. The kicking was a little bit
Not the debut you were hoping for Riley Patterson.
He misses his first one, but then he makes everything else that he lined up for. They all had you on a little bit of pins and needles every time the ball
went through. I said to go forth before that third down play. I said, go forth. You know who's hoping they get this? They pick up this third down more than anybody else in the building? Riley Patterson. Because yeah. I was like, dude, I think was it a 50-plus yarder on his first attempt? 52, I want to say. And I was like, dude, he is not excited to go out there and have his first attempt as an Atlanta Falcon after he just got off the plane, be a 50-plus yarder. So, yeah, man, that was not good.
It was a 43-yarder, first one.
Well, maybe they picked up the first down.
He made the 52.
Yeah, there you go.
But Judon in there, and I actually give a – I've been hard on Judon because I've wanted more. I mean,
sure.
When you look at our team sack leaders, and it's Caden Ellis and Arnold Ebiketie tied at 5.
Yeah.
And then Judon is right behind those guys, to his credit, with 4.5. And he had that's one thing. But, you know, when I go back and I just kind of – hear him, and was listening to him, and I thought he did a really good job. He was like, look.
Yeah.
Look.
Got the big bear paw up there.
I was just standing there, and the ball hit me, and I watched the replay, and Judon is, once the ball bats, he disengages, and he just watches it, and then it literally just hits him.
Right in the bread basket.
It's kind of like Billy Bob in Varsity Blues. When the ball just kind of hits him, he's like, what do I caught
call.
It. I caught it.
Such a good call.
Run, Billy Bob.
Run, Billy Bob.
Judon was a little bit quicker to react. And he used that quick breakaway speed to separate from Illuminor, who was the offensive lineman out there.
Split the wedge. Hey, let's go out to the phone lines. Let's go out to our buddy Gary over in Calhoun. Gary, what'd you think about Michael Penix's debut yesterday, buddy?
Well, let me tell you. I've been a fan since 1977, long time. And, you know, I thought, what's this guy going to look like when he comes out here? But what I saw was a young man that wasn't afraid. Full of confidence, and the balls he was putting down the field got there with some authority on them.
That's what I saw.
Well, I saw similar, Gary. I like the term using the description.
There was some authority on
some authority.
Yeah,
because he walked out there like, you respect my authority.
Yeah, you need to respect my authority.
I'm telling you, those balls had. They were humming.
He had
dude.
Some zip, man. There ain't no doubt about it. And to your point, you brought this up earlier. I think it's a good call. Ray Ray on the very first play from scrimmage, it's a short bootleg. It's a comeback route. Ray Ray along the sideline. He drops it. It's kind of good defense, but it's in his hands. He drops it. I don't think he's seen that much velocity. I don't think he's seen that much velocity recently. Even in practice, I doubt that Michael Penix really amped it up, threw it with that much zip on it. Probably kind of surprised him a little bit.
Yeah, it really
got on him quick.
And I thought Drake did too early. He dropped a little screen, a little outlet pass, and he drops one early.
Yeah, that was on a boot as well. A little pass in the flat on a boot. Yeah.
And so I thought that was one of the things, because I heard all this talk about different spin and all this kind of crap, and I was like, I don't think that's what's going to hurt them. And then you get in the game, and I don't think that had anything to do with it. I just go back to the how quickly the ball was getting on top of them.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's hit let's hit our buddy Minty. That's a Mafia member if I ever heard one. Minty, finally, what's going on, man? Merry Christmas. Play, play, play!
Say it loud.
Hey,
Mike,
man, let's go. What'd you see yesterday?
Objection. You cannot lead the listeners.
Hey, all right, fine. All right, fine. Well, Minty, what'd you see yesterday, bro?
Bo Morgan, I'm coming for you. Bo Morgan.
Bring
just
it.
You wait, all right? But I want to take the time out to appreciate the fact in the eyes of the national media, the Atlanta Falcons brass oftentimes look like they're inept and they don't know what they're doing. I want to appreciate the fact that it took a lot of foresight to draft that young man, and those draft picks on defense and the free agent signings look like genius moves right now because those guys are gelling. It looked like the cohesion is coming together. Mm. So even if the national media don't point that out, we need to appreciate the fact that the brass had the foresight to say, yes, we signed this guy and he's a tenured veteran, but let's get the young buck who looks like he knows what he's doing. And it proved that they had that foresight and wherewithal to go ahead and make that move. Because remember, they were getting filleted nationally when they made that pick.
Now, yeah, you're right. And Hey, Minty,
good call.
I was saying it too because I wanted some help other places. Can I ask you a question?
I love when you do. Go ahead.
I was listening to Minty talk, and then I was watching the game. I'm watching the film of this game, and you and I talked earlier about some screens they ran. They ran one to Ray.
There was one to Algier that was pretty good.
I just watched the one to Algier.
Yeah.
Remember how bad we've been at screens all year?
Yeah. Are you asking why it all of a sudden looked a lot better yesterday?
I'm asking you if having a quarterback who's just a little bit more mobile to where he can hold the ball a tick longer and not kind of just swing it quickly allows the offensive lineman to get out there a little bit more.
I don't think so, but here's what I will tell you. I think it has to do with the quarterback. I don't think it's the mobility. I think, if anything, the immobility of Kirk should help you because they would be, you know, kind of lunging at your backfield. I think the zip that he's able to put on the ball helps a little bit.
So it's not the timing of when
I think
you
the New York Giants, I think their bad defense helps as well. Let me just throw that out there. But
yeah,
I think,
but,
yeah.
But okay, but it's not like the Raiders were world beaters.
I know.
We ran a screen and it still didn't work. I mean, it's not like they had a good passing defense, all right?
Yeah.
It's not like every defense we've played have been Super Bowl championship caliber defenses.
We still got Chief on the line. Chief, hang out with us for just a minute. We're going to get to you at the top of the hour because for right now, we need to go down to Orlando, Florida and hit this mic'd up. Let's head down to the PNC Championship where that was being held at the Ritz-Carlton Golf Club there in Orlando, Florida. Kind of a father-son, mother-daughter, mother-son kind of matchup. A nice family weekend. Well, the greatest golfer of all time was there with his 16-year-old son, Charlie Woods. And if you didn't see it, this is what you heard yesterday.
Really good contact. This is a great-looking shot if it's the right number.
Oh, it is the right number. Oh! His father was actually not watching. He had to take a break for a second, comes back out. Here's the roar of the crowd. And Charlie Woods has made an ace here at the PNC Championship.
Not watching was Tiger Woods, but celebrating was Tiger Woods. One of the more special moments you will see on a golf course in an event like this. Charlie Woods, the first ace of his lifetime, I don't want to say career, of his lifetime because he's 16 years old, hits the 7-iron on the par 3, man. A special moment. Tiger Woods, a huge hug. Both of them saying afterwards that this was the thrill of a lifetime to be able to have that moment and for Charlie to make his first hole-in-one. Actually, Tiger's daughter, Sam, was working the bag as the caddy. A lot of their family friends there, I know they live in the Florida area, but just, man, what a special moment to have with your son if you're Tiger Woods to be on the tee and be able to celebrate with him, man. I cannot imagine, as a father of a four-year-old boy and a two-year-old girl, having a situation like that be able to play out right in front of you.
Was it a real quote that when Tiger was talking about it, he said, "Yeah, I mean, it's about time. I had my first hole-in-one when I was 6.
I don't believe that's a real quote. No, I can honestly say that I would not attribute that to one Tiger Woods.
And his first professional hole-in-one came when he was 20, by the way, Tigers. Dang. At the Greater Milwaukee Open in 96. I think it's cool. I think Tiger's been very – one of the things I give Tiger credit, and me and my buddy – a couple of my buddies were talking about it last night at dinner when we went to Cancun to celebrate the victory with some frozen margs. And he wants whatever Charlie does to stand for him, and he doesn't want people to mistake, you know, who he is as a golfer for what Charlie is. Because Tiger is a generational player.
Yes.
And they don't grow, you know, they don't 18 or 17 majors or whatever he has doesn't grow on trees. You know, we were talking about this last night and what would be a good career for Charlie Woods. And I was like, win 10 to 15 tour events and a major.
I was going to say make it to the tour.
I mean, I think he'll make it to the tour. I think he's the guy to make it to the tour. But if if you get on tour, I would say, you know, win some tournaments and a major or two.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, if he won the Masters.
Oh, it'd be insane. Yeah, absolutely. He's 15, by the way, not 16.
Yeah.
Ding. I'll ding myself on that one. Look,
you should ding yourself.
Bernard Langer hits the 18-foot eagle to win that event. They were in overtime against the Woods. 67-year-old Langer against and his 24-year-old son, Jason, were able to come away with it. So
Bernard Langer has been probably a better senior player than he was. I mean, I know he won a major or whatever, but, like, dude has been just dominant. And you know what else he does? And I know I'm getting way in the weeds on golf. Is when you like start breaking down offensive line play and technique. Is that this dude is still changing his game? I was watching a video by him, and he's like changing putters, changing his putting technique.
You're not getting better; you're getting worse. Chief, we know you're still on the line. If you guys want to talk to us, 404-726-0929. Call and tell us what you saw out of Michael Penix. How excited are you for those first place Atlanta Falcons? We got a little mini wake up call on the other side of the break. We'll also get to Man Up Monday. It's was not a great day for the man sitting across the table from me right now. He's going to be a bad mood Bo here coming up in about 10 minutes. So stick with us here. It's Mike and Bo. It's the Morning Chef on a Victory Monday for the Falcons. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.